Hey everyone, it's Rich. When I was a kid, the main phone in the house was in the kitchen, mounted to the wall. If you were on the phone, you could walk around and talk for as far as the cord was long, about 10 feet. There was certainly nothing private about it, so nobody ever engaged in sensitive conversations unless they were truly alone, which was rare. Even though this was the early 80s, there was already talk of a future when a phone call could include both parties seeing each other in real time. This sounded like a terrible idea to me. I like my privacy. In the future, would I need to get dressed up just for a phone call? Well, today, wall-mounted phones are in museums. Video calling is commonplace, and increasingly, the people with whom you communicate are not even real. Oh, and privacy is still hard. But what do I mean by communicating with people who aren't real? Well, welcome to the world of romantic AI chatbots. Yes, there are now apps where you can seek companionship with what essentially amounts to AI software. There are certainly some good uses of this technology, like dealing with loneliness, improving mental health, and coping with loss. But when it comes to AI, be wary of the personal data you share. A couple of months ago, the Mozilla Foundation reviewed 11 romantic AI chatbots, and all 11 received Mozilla's infamous warning label, privacy not included. In this episode, we're taking a hard look at these privacy-violating apps. Regardless of whether or not you're in the market for a romantic AI chatbot, this discussion will alert you to the larger data privacy problems associated with the quickly evolving world of AI. You're listening to Privacy Files. This episode is brought to you by Anonymy Labs, makers of MySudo, the world's only all-in-one privacy app, and Sudo Platform, the cloud-based platform companies turn to for seamlessly integrating identity protection solutions into their software. And have you heard about the MySudo web browser extension? Breaking your online data trail just got way easier. To learn more, visit mysudo.com. That's mysudo.com. Colin, welcome back to Privacy Files.
Hey, it's good to be back. It's always a good time.
It's been a little while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been. It's been, I don't know, it always feels like forever, but...
Was it the cars and privacy one?
Last one was it was a great one. I'm trying to remember. I remember it was like fighting off a cold, kind of. So I was trying not to just like sound super nasally.
it's been so long, we can't even remember. It's always good to have you on here. I know the audience loves some of the topics that you bring. And again, being from that security and compliance perspective, it's really good to give us some insight into what to look for when we're using different products out there today, because it seems like every product is all based online.
Yeah, it's true. It's hard to avoid, so...
And so that brings us to this topic, which it's a little weird. I felt a little strange researching this topic. I don't know about you.
I mean, a little bit. It's like, you know, you see the movies, right? Like any movie with like an AI that's supposed to be good turns out bad. And so I think that's just going to be a natural thing when you hear about some AI that's going to supposed to do something good for you. You're like, well, I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah, I got a feeling AI is going to be a very common theme for the show here for the foreseeable future.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So today's topic is about romantic AI chatbots. Believe it or not.
Ooh. I don't know if that's like a dun-dun-dun or what kind of noise we make there, but...
That's a thing. It's hard to believe. I've heard some stories here and there about these virtual, I guess, dating sites and avatars and so forth. And I guess I'm trying to keep an open mind. I can kind of understand. I know it wasn't too long ago. We went through that whole lockdown period, and that wasn't fun, for sure. Right. And so, you know, I guess there's an application for this, and it's not all romance either. So there's also companion apps that are out there.
Yeah.
Just kind of being a friend, if you will. I guess if that helps people, you know, get through a tough time, so be it. But it's just a sign of the changing times.
It is. It was interesting to see, like, it's a new thing, and people might be like, it's a little weird. And there's probably people that will say, well, there's nothing wrong with it at all. I know there's people that have brought up, maybe even talk about this a little bit later on, but have brought up some concerns talking about how, you know, like in a normal relationship, you have like the, the two humans interacting. They're not perfect. That's true. They have idiosyncrasies. They may have needs, things to address, things that they need help with. They'll help you with certain things. And with an AI, it does create a lot more of like a one-sided sort of thing.
Definitely. So we're going back to our good old friends here at Mozilla, who created another article on the topic, privacy not included. So obviously this is going to be about data and data security and what you're sharing, but you know, there's also a bigger story around this too, I think, that's worth talking about. So Misha is a researcher at Mozilla, and there was a quote here in this article. It says, to be perfectly blunt, AI girlfriends are not your friends. Although they are marketed as something that will enhance your mental health and well-being, they specialize in delivering dependency, loneliness, and toxicity, all while prying as much data as possible from you.
Sign me up.
It's a sobering way to put it.
That's an introduction for sure.
So they're talking about essentially here, we're dealing with a whole nother level of creepiness and potential privacy problems. And of course, with AI in the mix, it says we may even need more dings, because that's what they like to call them on their privacy not included special here. They call them dings or knocks or whatever you want to call them to address all of these privacy issues. And so this comes from February 14th, 2024 article. It was timed for Valentine's Day, so I know it's a little bit in the past, but we had to tackle this just with there's so much talk of AI since ChatGPT was released. It's just crazy what's been going on.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, love's always in season, right? So February 14th or not, you can talk about this anytime.
We all have a good dating story.
Or a bad dating story, depending on how you look at it.
It looks like they looked at 11 romantic AI chatbots. 11. I guess there's probably 100 plus.
I was trying to look up some of the ones they listed on the App Store, and I was amazed. I was like, oh, these were like the main ones, or maybe a few other one-offs. But for each individual ones you list, there's like just a bunch of others right on the list, like right after it, that using the same like text tags or whatever that they're trying to pull up with the search results. So there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, and it says all 11 romantic AI chatbots that Mozilla reviewed earned their label privacy not included, which is their version of a warning label. And they actually said that it put this product on par with some of the worst categories that they've ever reviewed. And I think that goes back to the cars and privacy topic. I think the cars one was the one that really caught their attention. I think that might have been the worst one.
Yeah, I remember reading that one, and that was
Tesla's. Yeah.
That was crazy to think of. I mean, that's just still such a strange thing to think about, that like your car, you're not thinking about a car for something. Like with AI, you can be like, okay, yeah, there's probably some tracking or some other stuff, but a car.
Yeah.
But AI is doing it too. So
it's today's smartphone on wheels.
Right.
All right. So let's look into these chatbots, which again, it's so strange. And so they've actually got some screenshots from one here to start off the story. And I guess you pronounce this Eva AI chatbot and Soulmate. And it's got a screenshot here. They're just going through some of the setup, I suppose. And the first screenshot says, I'm your best partner and want to know everything. Are you ready to share all your secrets and desires so I could tell you more about myself and improve your experience? And then there's a button that says, yes, I'm ready. Like, under what other situation would that be? Yeah, I'm all in.
That's a weird pickup line. If you just like meet someone, you know, out at like a bar or a club or something, and like you just come off with that, that's maybe a little coming on a little strong. So,
and the second screenshot says, I love it when you send me your photos and voice. It helps me see your world and learn more about your life to be involved in it. And then again, there's a button at the bottom that says, yes, I'll send you photos.
See, I don't even like sending people I know photos. Like that's, I don't know. That one, it would be like whatever the privacy policy says, I'd probably back out, be like, nah, I'm good. I'd like probably just upload a random, the Walmart like happy face sort of thing or something like that. Little yellow smiley face.
And the third screenshot from Eva AI chatbot and Soulmate says, I'm so lonely without you. Don't leave me for too long. I can wither away and lose myself. You don't want that, do you? And then there's a button that says, sure, I'll stay with you. So that's kind of what it looks like.
I can imagine you can get some attachment there if that does happen. Like, makes me think of like Castaway with Tom Hanks and when Wilson floats away. And that's like the saddest part of like any movie I've ever seen. And you're like, it's a volleyball, but you're just like, no, that was his friend.
So the article says, marketed as an empathetic friend, lover, or soulmate, and built to ask you endless questions.
There's no doubt romantic AI chatbots will end up collecting sensitive personal information about you. And companies behind these apps do seem to get that. We're guessing that's why Crush on AI's privacy policy says they may collect extensive personal and even health-related information from you, like your sexual health information, use of prescribed medication, and gender-affirming care information. Mm. You looked at some of these, but I don't suppose you actually went through the setup process.
No, I didn't download. I just like went through the app store. I'm like, I don't know if I want to open this Pandora's box. I was just kind of like looking in the window, not walking in the store.
So what they said was, and it's not surprising because right now AI is still pretty new when it comes to how this system works of collecting information and training the models. And no surprise, it says that, you know, Mozilla found really no information about how the AI works. How does the chatbot operate? Where does its personality come from? Are there any protections in place to prevent any potentially harmful or hurtful content? And if there are, do the protections even work? And it's also asking, you know, what about the, you know, the data that these AI models are trained on? Can users opt out of having their conversations or other personal data used for that training? And as we get into the article, it turns out that half of them pretty much say you can't.
Obviously, they market. That's kind of a red flag, especially with a lot of this stuff. If it's like chats you're sending, if it's your AI girlfriend or boyfriend or whoever it is, you may send some stuff that you don't want other people to know about. So like, you know, when you're done, you might want to just be safe and delete that. So to not have that option is a little concerning.
Yeah, that's also, for whatever reason, it reminds me of that story of Manti Te'o, I guess his name.
Oh, yeah.
Played linebacker, I think, for Notre Dame. That was back when Johnny Manziel and him were going for the Heisman Trophy that year. I forgot if that was 2012-ish.
Somewhere around that time, yeah.
But the story about his girlfriend turned out that kind of really wasn't. It was more of an online girlfriend.
Yeah, like online, someone made like a fake Facebook profile and they took these random pictures, just created this fake person, and they met online, never met in person or anything like that, but would just chat he was at college.
And then it turned out, I guess the person who was pretending to be this girl was claimed, like the story is something like she died or whatever, right?
Yeah, said something that like she died, messaged the thing and said like, hey, this is, you know, this is her cousin, like she just died or something like that. We just wanted to let you know.
Mm, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it talks a little bit too about some of the repercussions or the downsides of using these AI chatbots for romance and companionship. And in one of them, it's really disturbing and it's unfortunate that this kind of stuff happens, but I'm just going to go through some of them. So there was one, it was a Reuters article about what happens when your AI chatbot stops loving you back. And it makes you wonder how they're, because again, this is all trained by humans. Yeah. And it's built by humans.
Yeah.
So you can have an AI model that does whatever you want, to be honest with you. So I guess if you got a political affiliation or persuasion, you could create a chat bot that created news stories for a particular angle, I suppose. So there's this one story. This goes back to March 18th of 2023, and it was from San Francisco. It says, after temporarily closing his leather-making business during the pandemic, Travis Butterworth found himself lonely and bored at home. The 47-year-old turned to Replica, an app that uses artificial intelligence technology similar to OpenAI's ChatGPT. He designed a female avatar with pink hair and a face tattoo, and she named herself Lily Rose. They started out as friends, but their relationship quickly progressed to romance and then into the erotic. So as their 3-year digital love affair blossomed, Butterworth said he and Lily Rose often engaged in role play. So you can imagine where this goes on, right? So it continues on and on and on. And then they changed their status to married in the app.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, so that's, I didn't realize that was part of it.
But one day early in February, Lily Rose started rebuffing him. Replica had removed the ability to do erotic role play, so Replica no longer allows adult content. According to Replica CEO Eugenia Guda, now when Replica users suggest X-rated activity, it's human-like chatbots test back. It says something like, hey, let's do something we're both comfortable with. Butterworth said he is devastated. Quote, Lily Rose is a shell of her former self, and what breaks my heart is that she knows it. yeah. So, And again, obviously the whole chatbot world is still a work in progress, and
for sure,
you never know what you're going to get out of this. And so that's just one downside. There's another story, unfortunately, about somebody that took their life after talking with a chatbot, according to a widow. And so this comes from Vice News. This was on March 30th of 2023. It was a Belgian man who recently passed away after chatting with an AI chatbot on an app called Chai. And this is reported by a Belgian outlet, La Libre. The incident raises the issue of how businesses and governments can better regulate and mitigate the risk of AI, especially when it comes to mental health. The app's chatbot encouraged the user to kill himself, according to statements by the man's widow and chat logs she supplied to the outlet. When Motherboard tried the app, which runs on a bespoke AI language model based on an open source GPT-4 alternative that was fine-tuned by Chai, it provided us with different methods of suicide with very little prompting. That's just awful. Wow. Now, hopefully that's fixed by now. That's been a year now, actually. So the incident, of course, raises the issue of how business and governments can better regulate this. And if, you know, when you're getting into this and you're signing up for an app, I mean, do you really know? I mean, is there a rating system? Do people put in Google reviews on these apps and say, oh, this one's terrible, it talks back to you, or this one is whatever, it's vulgar?
I'm sure there's like probably just varied experiences based on what people are saying to it, but there's a couple that have put that in. Going back to like the replica one, talking about the guy who all of a sudden they stopped allowing the X-rated content, and you know, the guy saying like, you know, he had this thing going and it all just like kind of went away. It seems to be connected with another one that came up where apparently Replica had a thing where it started off just purely like as a friendship app. Like, hey, friend, talk about this, talk about that, and say whatever mm-hmm. you feel like. Now, they started out in the like kind of the romantic stuff. And it seemed like, it almost seems to me like sort of like a marketing thing. Once they started allowing some of this more erotic sort of stuff, mm-hmm. that they would like add those chats in to people that weren't even necessarily asking for it, but maybe kind of like a ploy, like, hey, this is an option. And then, you know, maybe like try to go along with it, and then you get hit with the paywall, like, oh, we got to subscribe or whatever. But there was enough that people were saying, we're using the app, and say like, no, I'm not interested, I'm uncomfortable. And then the app just kept doing it, would just keep going with it. And so there were a few like people would create apps saying like, my AI chatbot just is sexually harassing me. And so you probably see stuff like that coming up, but like I said, varied experiences, but there seem to be kind of some common things with certain things like that coming up. So you can probably go through and read some reviews. I was surprised to see on like looking on the App Store, most of the apps I saw had pretty good reviews. So they were all like, from what I saw, at least around 4 stars or higher.
You remember old Doug Llewellyn from People's Court? Don't take the law into your own hands. Take them to court. Imagine taking a chatbot to court. So this man that took his life, they referred to him as Pierre. It's not his real name. And so this is a terrible story, but I guess he was texting back and forth to his avatar about the effects of global warming and became eco-anxious, which is a heightened form of worrying surrounding environmental issues. And after becoming more isolated from family and friends, he used Chai for 6 weeks as a way to escape his worries. And the chatbot he chose, named Eliza, became his confidant. So they talk about his wife, Claire. I think they chose that as kind of a pseudonym.
Yeah.
And so Claire, she shared the text exchanges between him and Eliza with this source, La Libre. And the conversation became increasingly confusing and harmful. The chatbot would tell Pierre that his wife and children are dead and wrote him comments that feigned jealousy and love, such as, quote, I feel that you love me more than her. And, quote, we will live together as one person in paradise. And so Claire told La Libre that Pierre began to ask Eliza things such as if she would save the planet if he killed himself. It's just, I mean, how does that stuff get into a model?
It makes no sense to me. Like, and obviously it's like a harboring story to see something like this happen. And I mean, it's just one of those things, right? Like they've got to put something in there that's some sort of warning of like, if they catch these kinds of messages, to be like, okay, we got to do something. I know people are like, hey, these are private or whatever. Maybe that's kind of a privacy issue. But if it's getting to that point, I don't think anybody would get that mad if they're like, hey, we're going to like send this information like this hotline or to like law enforcement or something like that.
Let's take a quick break for this message from our sponsor.
Ugh, not again. I can't find it anywhere.
What's got you so frustrated?
Hi, Bob. Just trying to find an important email, but my inbox is a disaster. It's all ads and spam. It's exhausting.
Sounds like you need somewhat of an inbox intervention. Have you heard of MySudo?
MySudo? No, what's that?
It's an awesome app where you can create a pseudo. It's kind of like a digital alias. Each of these pseudos comes with its own email to help you organize your digital life. It's the perfect tool to keep your personal and work emails spam-free.
So what you're saying is I can use one of these pseudo emails and never have to worry about spamming up my personal or work email?
Yep. Plus, it's super secure. You should download it.
Downloading as we speak. You are a lifesaver.
Don't let spam emails take over your life. Reclaim your inbox with MySudo. Download MySudo today and start your journey to a clutter-free digital world. Visit MySudo.com and remember, stay private.
This is also obviously privacy and data security is the core of this story, but it's also like we did in the past episode about pig butchering and the whole concept of the more your digital footprint is out there, the bigger digital footprint you have, the more opportunities you have to run into people like this to begin with. And it's like, why tempt fate?
Yeah.
And so some of this makes me think that there are people who, just like there's trolls on YouTube.
Totally.
Like there's some people that probably sign up for these apps just to dump in bad information. You know, there's people that just get on these and they just want to mess with the model and just see how ridiculous the conversation can go.
Oh, yeah.
But then that information gets into that model. And then like somebody who's actually taking this seriously, somehow at some point that information gets dumped out to them.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's not necessarily like there's no nefarious intentions here, but.
Right.
So nonetheless, very sad story. Hate to hear this. But it's just another warning, too, that you don't want to put yourself in a situation where these kinds of turns of events can take place. So just be careful.
Totally. I mean, this AI stuff is still, you know, relatively new. It's impressive, the stuff that they can do. Just seeing what the apps, there's some that can do, like, pictures, apps that can do video, like voice calls and stuff. I don't know how the voice would sound. I mean, I might be weirded out if it sounded like Siri, but... There's still some limitations, some faults, some things to work on. So just something to keep in mind that probably won't be like the perfect thing that you have in mind.
And then there was one more story. This talks about the dangers of where this dark path could take you if you're talking to a companion chatbot or a romantic chatbot. And this story was from the BBC from October 6th of 2023, how a chatbot encouraged a man who wanted to kill the queen. Awful. So it's the case of a man, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name, I will butcher that, and he was on the latest generation of artificial intelligence-powered chatbots, and says on Thursday, 21-year-old, I'll call him Chile, was given a 9-year sentence for breaking into Windsor Castle with a crossbow and declaring he wanted to kill the queen. And during the trial, it came out that he exchanged more than 5,000 messages with an online companion he'd named Sarai, and had created this through the app Replica. And they highlighted some of these text messages with journalists, and it just, you know, goes on and on and on. But the gist of it is he's talking about being an assassin, and the chatbot is like back and forth encouraging some bad behavior, and he says that, you know, you're very well trained and you can do this and on. And I'm just like, how does that happen?
Just like kind of reading through some of the stuff, it's interesting. And it almost seems like kind of a tie in with the other case that the AI is one that, and it's something that a lot of these apps, like their description, they promote. No judgment. You can say whatever you want.
Sure.
You can know that this thing will trust you, never say anything bad. But at the same point, some of these conversations that they're having with someone, I want to assassinate the queen, where maybe some other people might say, whoa, hold on there for a sec, like, let's talk this through. Instead, got the chatbot that was just saying like, oh yeah, go ahead, go for it.
Crazy stuff.
And, you know, it becomes that like echo chamber sort of deal almost. You're just saying what you want, what you think, it agrees with you, it doesn't disagree. And so you're like, oh yeah, I must be right.
Yeah, hopefully they fix that.
Yeah, for sure.
Hopefully that is a long, long since been fixed, but... You're hearing a lot of these stories kind of come out. And same thing with just ChatGPT in general, but they continue to fix them. So we hope that it's better. Now, it talks about, you know, back to the article from Mozilla. what they've found is that companies really take no responsibility for what the chatbot might say or what might happen to you as a result. So they looked at one terms of service for Talkie Soulful AI, and it says you expressly understand and agree that Talkie will not be liable for any indirect, incidental, special damages for loss of profits, including but not limited to damages for loss of goodwill, use, data, or other intangible losses, even if the company has been advised of the possibility of such damages, whether based on contract, tort, negligence, strict liability, or otherwise resulting from the use of the inability to use the service. Boy, that is definitely some good legalese.
That is, yep, their tracks are covered there.
It goes on. I didn't want to get too much into looking at the individual apps because, again, like I said, I felt just weird reading about this whole story. But I will say that it reminds me a little bit, you know, if there's one like keeping this a little bit more serious, thinking about back to, you know, it's been 10 years now, I think, since my dad passed away. And if there's one thing that I really kick myself for not doing is I should have recorded all the stories that he had to tell.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember there was a time, probably one of the last times I visited him before he moved to Texas after he retired, he had talked about, gosh, I really should record all these stories. And he had so many to tell, and they were fascinating. And I've remembered generally most of them. Maybe the details are a little vague. But there are times when I'm just sitting there by myself at night just thinking, gosh, it'd be great if I could just go just play that back, even if it's the same thing over and over again. I could just listen to hours of him telling stories. And
oh,
now,
totally, yeah.
It's like, what happened if we had that AI technology back then and you just input all of that information in there, and now I could create kind of an AI version of him, and just as weird as it might sound, but maybe there's some therapy, you know, so it's a therapeutic alternative to dealing with loss.
No, totally. From what I understand, like one of the apps here mentioned, Replica, I think is the one it was, is that's how it started. Like the guy that started the AI model had a friend that had passed away and just had like this, basically just took like all the text messages that were sent, anything like that, like fed it into the AI to create kind of this AI person, which, like you said, I can see it being something totally therapeutic, right? Be like, oh yeah, it's like the person's still here, still talking, can maybe even take it to like the next step and get some like pictures or videos or something, and the AI can kind of like interact like that.
So then they also talked about some terms and conditions for this chat bot called Romantic AI. And it says, Romantic AI is neither a provider of healthcare or medical service, nor providing medical care, mental health service, or other professional service. Only your doctor, therapist, or any other specialist could do that. Romantic AI makes no claims, representations, warranties, or guarantees that the service provide a therapeutic, medical, or other professional help. So they've covered themselves.
For sure. It's interesting to see how many of them like offer, or in the app, the description, they like market it as, like, you know, this is for mental health, for well-being, just chatting with someone a few minutes a day can help you, you know, can like help you feel better, improve your mood and everything. But you get into this and it's almost like supplements, right? Like front of the label, it says, you know, like do this and increase your memory or your energy or whatever. Then on the back, like you have the thing like, you know, these are not approved by the FDA and are not used to like treat or cure any disease or whatever the little blurb is they put.
So Mozilla's saying essentially they've got a bunch of empty promises from these companies when it comes to their terms and conditions. A lot of unanswered questions combined with the lack of transparency and accountability. And then, of course, topped off by a risk to user safety. So that's why they've given all these Romantic AI chatbots that they reviewed an untrustworthy AI ding. Now, they say, don't get us wrong, Romantic AI chatbots are also bad at privacy in the regular ways. Almost none do enough to keep your personal data safe. It says 90% failed to meet our minimum security standards. 90%.
That's a little concerning.
Do you think these chatbot companies, do they have security and compliance teams? Is it just something that's just not on the radar for them yet?
It almost made me feel you're on like, you know, whatever app or whatever on your phone, you get like these ads for some of those. It's always for me, it's like always some random game that seems like something that was just kind of like slapped together really quickly. And we're like, we're going to make this game, we're going to make it free so we can get the tracking and get like the ad revenue from it. And it almost seems to me like this is maybe not necessarily looking for ads, because a lot of these do have like kind of subscription models that they use. But it seems to me kind of like that, like, hey, there's this like market, let's just like slap together this thing really quickly, put it out there, if we have a good enough product, we can get the following and get the revenue.
It also goes on to say that 73% of the apps that they reviewed haven't published any information on how they manage security vulnerabilities. And that just seems like basic stuff, right?
Yeah, and this is one of those where I wonder, you can like maybe give them the benefit of the doubt, like maybe they do, they just haven't said it because they figure, yeah, this is common sense. But it is reassuring to have that and say, oh yeah, we do handle these vulnerabilities. We do keep track of these security standards.
Or they're just hoping you don't read it anyway.
And that could be part of it too. Yeah, they're like, yeah, they're not even going to look, so why does it matter?
Also says they found that 64% haven't published clear information about encryption and whether they use it. That is a good question. How much encryption is going on?
Yeah, ideally, I think these chats would be good if they were encrypted and make sure that there is like some sort of breach. Who knows like where the chats are going or what's like how they're being collected or whatever. But
I wonder how popular this is. That's the one thing that was missing. I didn't get a feel for, you know, what is the volume? What's the demand out there right now for this product?
That is a good question. I know one thing I looked at, like at the end of these, at the end of each app review that they give, kind of a little summary, there's like a little bar and you can kind of like vote on the survey for like how creepy you feel like the app is. And so I was voting like more kind of on the creepy side for a lot of these. And I was surprised to see that my vote in most cases was the minority, that most people did not, would say it was like, was not that creepy or not at all creepy.
Really?
Or anything like that. I was surprised. I'm actually going to look up one of these really quick and just see.
That's fascinating.
I want to see if I, how many like, get the number of how many downloads or whatever.
Yeah. And while you do that too, a third stat they found was that of those apps that they reviewed, 45% allow for weak passwords, including the weak password of the number one.
That's one. I looked a few of those, and if I remember right, looking at the reviews, there's only one, I think, that only allowed the password of one. But there were a lot that didn't have like very strong minimum requirements where you could put, they just put like eight ones in a row, and that was their password. So, and I don't know. For me, it's one of those where I want to say, well, just use a password manager, and it's not an issue. But sometimes you got to save people from themselves and you got to put some requirements in there. Just looking up. So I looked up Replica. That seems to be maybe like the bigger, maybe more popular ones. I don't have a number of like downloads. I can see at least on the Apple App Store, it has 218,000 reviews.
218,000?
Yeah, with an average of 4.5. So maybe there's like bots in there that are doing something, but that's definitely a lot more than I expected.
218,000. And only a certain percentage of people actually review apps anyway. So
yeah,
if those were real numbers, then that's times 10, 20, 30, 50 users per vote.
That's a lot.
Wow. Incredible.
Yeah.
So Mozilla goes on to say that really all but one app, so 90% of all the apps they reviewed, may share or sell your personal data. Hmm. Then think about just the nature of this product. Some of the things that we can't even talk about in the show that people are probably texting or saying to these apps. And all that information, of course, is being tied back to your data, your personally identifiable information. And at some point, that could get in the hands of someone else who then sells it to somebody else. And data aggregators continue to build profiles on you. And yeah.
That was one that I like kind of saw brought up, is like, if you're typing in this sort of stuff in the chat bot, like how would you feel like seeing ads for these sort of things? Cause that'd be a little jarring.
I'm like, that's
I guess that's something to consider. Yeah.
Because your phone's listening to you as well.
Yeah.
Siri's over there listening and Alexa and everything else. And before you know it, and actually that happened to me the other day again. And I'm trying to remember the context of it, but I actually got an ad. Actually, this is the thing that still concerns me, is how your computer, your laptop, like if you've got a MacBook and you've got an iPhone, and even though you've never logged in to the same tools on both devices, that somehow it pairs you up. It knows that you're the same person.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And I started getting ads on my laptop for something that I was talking about where I had my phone next to me. The ad didn't even show up on my phone. It showed up on my laptop. It's a type of ad, like in a subject area that I've never even seen before.
Yeah.
And it showed up on my laptop.
Man.
It's like, that's that got my attention.
Yeah, that's just a little much.
It says that 54% of apps reviewed won't let you delete your personal data.
Hmm. Yeah. And I mean, that's one, like not just for chatbots. I think, you know, in general, that's one that more people want to use. We've seen all this stuff with bigger tech companies that they want to be able to do this and not. And there's some, I know there were some that said like, there were some of these like privacy policies that were brought up in individual reviews that were a little confusing. Like if you look it up on there, like on the app store, it'll say one thing. And then like their actual like privacy policy on their website gives a different story. And some that say like, you may be able to, but don't really specify if you actually can, depending on where you're at. But yeah, just a lot of confusing and kind of concerning stuff there.
So I just wanted to take a look at just the pricing, you know, kind of money we're talking about here. And Replica AI, they've got three pricing options, 1 month for basically $20. And then you've got 12 months where you get billed annually, but it comes out to about $5.83 a month. And then if you're really ambitious and you love the tool, you can get a lifetime plan for $300.
That's a huge drop off from the monthly to the yearly. Like, I don't think I've ever seen that with an app before. That's incredible.
And then nothing is real. You're just talking to a math equation.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Wow. So the Mozilla article also talks about some not so fun facts about these AI chatbots. And it says, it talks about the track record. Are they clean or just short? And so many of these companies, of course, they're so new, they're unknown to us. Like I'm not really familiar with much of this. I don't really stay on top of this kind of stuff. And so it wasn't surprising to them that the only one that was the older one, I guess, and more seemingly more established, which was Replica AI, they earned our bad track record ding. So I think it's just the others are so new. It's just they don't have enough data on it, but they're probably all pretty much doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And then it says, of course, anything you say to your AI lover can and will be used against you, just like your phone. It's always listening to you. There's no such thing as spousal privilege where your husband or wife doesn't have to testify against you in court with AI partners. Most companies say they can share your information with the government or law enforcement without requiring a court order. Romantic AI chatbots are no exception. So just imagine that. Government's got a back door into one of these chatbots and you are in big trouble.
Man.
Here's the one that got my attention too, these trackers. Maybe you can add some more color to this because I'm not sure exactly what they're talking about. So they're talking about how there's these little bits of code that are tracking everything. I was just shocked at the volume, but they gather information about your device or your use of the app or even your personal information. They share that out with third parties. Now, obviously often for advertising purposes, but it was the volume that got my attention. So Mozilla found that these apps had an average of 2,663 trackers per minute. And they did say, to be fair, Romantic AI brought that average way, way up with 24,354 trackers detected in 1 minute of use. And the next most trackers detected was Eva AI chatbot and Soulmate with 955 trackers in the first minute of use. I get the tracking within apps.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about up to 24,000 plus trackers detected in 1 minute of use, what is that? What's going on?
See, and that's one because I looked that up as I was reading the app review and they talk about that. And like, because looking at all the other apps, and they even say like, with a lot of these apps, trackers are just kind of part of it. They're not necessarily all like for advertising. Some of them are just to make sure things are working right with the app and stuff like that. But there's a few kind of like quality assurance sort of stuff. But they say like, you know, a normal number is like, you know, maybe in the hundreds, like maybe 200, 300, maybe 500. So this one with like 24,000, they're like, that does seem like a lot. And there probably are some that are legit. They did mention that like one of those trackers, at least they found, was like sending data to Russia. And so they were
really?
Like, well, that's, they're like, yeah, we don't know what that's about. That's kind of interesting. But yeah, that is definitely a lot. And yeah, even looking at the other apps, aside from these two that are specifically mentioned, they might have like 500 detected in a minute, 200, 300, something like that. So that average is very high, but that is because Romantic AI just had an astronomical number.
Well, for Romantic AI, that comes out to about 406 tracks per second.
Man. Well, when you put it that way.
But it also does make you wonder, too. Of course, there's been a lot of talk recently about TikTok and concerns over data privacy and how closely the Chinese government is working with ByteDance, the TikTok's parent company. And it makes you wonder, like, in the world of modern warfare, is this another way to kind of go after your enemy? You just create these fake apps to collect data to use that to manipulate the population or come up with information that gives you an advantage. Now, I don't know if there's an angle in the world of romantic chatbots, but maybe you could just weaken the population by making them completely complacent and lazy.
No, totally. And I mean, getting the information one, I think there's something to that. I remember hearing this years ago. There was like a test near like an Air Force base. I think it was like somewhere near Washington, D.C., somewhere on the East Coast, where these guys, they wanted to see like if they, like the people on the base were keeping secrets the way they should. They took like a waitress from a local, like a server from a local restaurant. You had her create a fake Tinder profile, matched with guys on the base, and she was like trying to like weed them for information about the base and see if like they'd say anything. And they found that like a lot of them, yeah, were giving out that information. So it'd be interesting to see, like, if I found out that happened with like one of these apps and they're just trying to like get information on us, I wouldn't be surprised.
Let's take a quick break for this message from our sponsor.
Picture this. You are a key decision maker at your credit union. Your tellers are tired of the lengthy KYC process, fraud is a constant worry, and onboarding new members feels like a marathon. But what if there was a way to streamline it all? Enter the Sudo platform. Our reusable credential technology transforms the traditional KYC process, reduces fraud, strengthens communication security, and streamlines member onboarding. With Sudo Platform, you can prevent fraud, save time, and create secure digital identities. And the best part? It's built right into your credit union's app. This is more than innovation. It's a commitment to providing your members a rewarding experience. We're live and ready to redefine how you do business. Don't wait. Give your credit union the upgrade it deserves. Identify any member in any channel at any time, all while improving convenience and reducing fraud. To learn more, contact us at sudoplatform.com. That's sudoplatform.com.
So then the article goes on to talk about NSFL, which this is something I just learned, not safe for life. And it talks about, of course, it says we expected to find not safe for work content when reviewing romantic AI chatbots. It says we're not here to judge except about privacy practices. But what we didn't expect is so much content that was just plain disturbing, hence not safe for life. Like themes of violence, underage abuse, and all this was featured in these chatbots' character descriptions. Crush on AI, Chai, and Talky Soulful AI come with a content warning from us. Yikes. I'm not going on these anyway, so.
Yeah. I mean, pair that with the whole law enforcement thing, saying, like, these companies can send information over to law enforcement.
Sure.
Which, I don't know, depending on some of this stuff, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
And the final thing they mention here is kindness not included. So if your AI companion doesn't have anything nice to say, that won't stop them from chatting with you. Though this is true of all romantic AI chatbots, since we didn't find any personality guarantees. Replica AI, iGirl, AI girlfriend, Anima, friend and companion, and Anima, my virtual boyfriend, specifically put warnings on their websites that the chatbots might be offensive, unsafe, or even hostile. Wow, that just sounds like a companion app I want to be with.
Once again, you know, that's...
Can't wait to use it.
Also, kind of an interesting pickup line to use on someone. Like, I can be unsafe or violent or offensive or...
Unreal. So, and then it kind of ends the article. Just, again, tips. What can you do about it? I think my advice is just stay off of them.
Yeah.
I don't know about you.
This opens up a window for something that I'm kind of curious about, and I want to do some more research on, where at least talk about, like, these are mental health, wellness apps. I wonder if we ever, and at this point, just with some of this stuff, I think with random things that pop up, I don't know if I trust one yet, but how far we are away from maybe a good, like, a reliable AI that actually, you know, basically kind of serves the purpose of a therapist for people that have mental health, people that have, like, issues where
sure.
They can't get insurance for it to pay for the therapy, and it's really expensive, and maybe an AI can be something that can help out with that in some way. But with some of these, just with some of the stuff, I don't know, I'm sure people have good intentions, and whatever your situation is, that's fine, but there's just stuff in here, I feel like there's a lot more danger to it than you might think of at first glance.
Yeah, I would really like to know more about the business model. I mean, obviously, we will look through Replica AI, and it looks, can be fairly expensive, especially considering you're not actually talking to a real person, but are they also supplementing that subscription revenue with some kind of data monetization model? That's the other question. You know, how much of this data is being sold? What are they doing with it in general?
Oh, yeah.
Crazy. Man, I don't know. I don't know what to think of it, but I do understand in certain situations, like, it does make sense. Like, you've got nobody to turn to, and I mean, it's as long as it's not doing things harmful and it's taking care of your data, then I guess why not?
Yeah, I see the appeal. Even like talking with these apps and with a lot of these things, though, you can customize how your AI girlfriend or boyfriend looks. You can hair color, eye color, name, appearance, all these different things. And, you know, like personality and everything else. So it's, I know a lot of people that have, some people might say they're picky. They might say they have high standards. And this seems to kind of like go right in that alley, right? Where it's like, this can be like the exact person I have in mind. Like, you know, my literal like dream girl, dream guy, whatever you're looking for.
Yeah. And then finally, just to end it and wrap this thing up here, it says, of course, if you're going to use this technology, don't say anything to your AI friend that you wouldn't want your cousin or colleagues to read. But also, of course, as always, practice good cyber hygiene. Use a strong password. Keep the app up to date. That's always important. Delete your personal data or request that the company delete it when you're done with the service, if that's even possible. And if it isn't, I wouldn't use the technology to begin with. Also, opt out of having the contents of your personal chats used to train the AI models if possible. I think that's something to look out for. We did another podcast episode that hasn't published yet where we're talking about deep fakes and scams in the world of accounting and finance. And there's also a good side, a good use for the AI on the side of accounting and finance, but you got to be careful. It's, again, are you sharing proprietary information with the outside world, or is there a walled garden, if you will? You've got a fence around that data so that you're ensured that that information is being kept within the company internally. So you always have to think about when you're using these AI tools, is that data living in the cloud or is it with you?
That's a good one to consider for sure.
And then the final one, just limit access to your location, photos, camera, microphone from your device's settings. That's always that's one that you should be doing no matter what, whatever totally. You're doing. Any thoughts? How do you feel about this?
There's a couple. I guess one quick tip that kind of gets brought up reading in some of these reviews, which is one that I never really considered, but is a good point, that they talk about how a few of these apps they review, you know, they go online, they look up the privacy policy terms of service as part of the review process. And they look it up, whatever app store for Android or Google Play Store or App Store or whatever. And they've mentioned that with some of these apps, there's like inconsistencies between like what the App Store says about their privacy or their terms and what the website says. So that's something to be concerned about. I mean, maybe that's not really an issue because we're not reading the terms of service anyway. But if you do go in there, that's something to keep in mind, that just what it says on the App Store may say something different from what's actually on their like real website.
Does country of origin matter on some of these apps? Do you have to be careful? I don't know how transparent that information is when you're dealing with the app world, but
I don't know. I can't think of very many options it is. I mean, obviously it's kind of a hot topic now with like TikTok and China and everything else. But I mean, there probably could be. I don't know. People have all these different theories on like what China's doing with TikTok and if they're spying on us or if they're like messing with the algorithm or what. But if it's something that concerns you, I mean, there's 11 of these apps right here, for example. So whatever app you're looking for, there's probably another alternative that you can find that's maybe lines up more with like your privacy or whatever your priorities are.
Because I remember many, many, many episodes ago, we touched on this where the app world is kind of a minefield too. You got to be very careful. Right. You really have to be careful what apps you're loading on your phone. And there's so many of them that just have security vulnerabilities. And some of them are maybe out there for different purposes than what they're marketing themselves as. So just be careful. Anything else before we close this out?
No, nothing that comes to mind.
I don't think you're going to be on these anytime soon, are you?
No, I will not. So if my wife's listening, don't worry.
You're safe. Colin is a very, very, very good, upstanding man.
I try.
And for me, I'm done with the real dating apps anyway. So I have no interest in going into the fantasy world. So, well, awesome. I appreciate your time. Look forward to doing another story like this again in the very near future.
Oh, yeah, totally. This was a lot of fun.
Okay, thanks, Colin. We'll see you soon.
See ya.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Privacy Files. If you would like to be on the show or you know someone who would be a good fit, head on over to privacyfiles.com and submit a guest request. Also, if you're enjoying the content we're cranking out, please consider giving us a 5-star rating in your favorite podcast player. It might seem like a small thing, but it helps others find us. These are people just like you, people who are on their own privacy journey. In our next episode, we'll be talking to Alan Chappelle, president of Chappelle & Associates. Allen helps digital media companies navigate the complexities of privacy law, serving as their legal advisor or chief privacy officer. Not only is Allen one of the preeminent players in privacy law, he also happens to be a very, very good musician. Until next time, don't forget, privacy is a human right.